Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for April the 12th, which this week is a matter of life and death. I'm Thomas Stevens.
Sag mal, spendest du deine Organe?
On a beautiful sunny day, a car spins off the road and ends up balancing precariously on the edge of a cliff. Are you an organ donor? The driver asks his concerned passenger. This is the beginning of the Federal Health Office's latest attempt to raise awareness about organ donations in Switzerland, which has one of the lowest rates in Europe. SwissInfo's Jeannie Wurz spoke to a couple of people involved in the television campaign, which started on April the 8th.
Johannes Raggio from Zurich advertising agency Spillman Felser Leo Burnett directed the ad and explains how it came about and why they are using a new approach, humor.
They're looking for a new idea, and sometimes it happens in the midst of the night or taking a shower or having lunch. And this time it was having lunch. You start thinking of a nice idea, a good concept, something that is really interesting, and it doesn't matter what's the nature of the idea. It's not. I don't think, oh, I have to do a campaign with celebrities. I think, what is the best campaign we can do? What is a good idea to communicate what we want? Donation of organs is quite a heavy topic. You'd rather postpone the decision than to decide right now. It's a topic you don't want to think about too long. And of course, you leave that always for the last moment. So we thought, okay, what if we have people in that very last moment and they, we have to sort also that out and decide what will happen with our organs.
Why did you then use humor?
I think humor, also in the face of death, gives the heavy topic a little bit of lightness, I would say, because we have to also entertain people in a way. Also, although it's a serious topic, I think humor is in a way a good gate opener to a very serious topic.
The slogan of the previous campaign was, "There is no wrong answer, just express your will." Before that campaign, 25% of people who were asked to donate a relative's organs said no. After the campaign, it was 40%. This was described by Swiss Transplant, the organization that allocates organs in Switzerland, as counterproductive. Susan Niefeler, co-director of the Health Office's Transplantation and Reproductive Medicine section, explained how the new campaign was different from the old one.
I think the new campaign really tries to address the topic in a different way. Mm-hmm. And we really, in the end, we ended up with humor. And we hope that more people will be willing to discuss this topic with their relatives. Mm-hmm. This is really the goal, that they start to talk and to express also what they want.
You don't think that people will be shocked by the fact that a serious subject is treated humorously?
You see, the humor really evolved over the time. We had the idea and we said, okay, with this idea you cannot have the people talk really seriously about the topic. It's a surrealistic approach.
The first ad campaign was serious, and it was people saying how they felt. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we also had a lot of people that said that they are against organ donation.
Why is it hard to convince people to donate organs?
Yeah, I think first of all, I think there is a wrong assumption in what the goal of our campaign is. The mandate of the Federal Office of Public Health is to inform neutrally the population. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually to convince people to don their organs. This campaign is also a bit based on the previous one. Mm-hmm. Because first it said, you have to express yourself. And now we said, again, you have to express yourself otherwise your loved ones will have to take this difficult decision on your behalf. And I think this is really, I see this as a step forward.
Jeannie Wurz speaking to Johanna Zaraggio and Suzanne Niefeller about Switzerland's latest organ donation awareness campaign. On April the 9th, front pages around the world were covered with pictures of Margaret Thatcher, the former British Prime Minister, who died the previous day, aged 87. Swiss newspapers judged she had ruled Britain with a firm hand and a sturdy hand back, adding that her legacy continued to affect the state of the British economy and society, not always for the best.
"No one divided British society like Thatcher did,"
said the Südostschweiz.
"She was responsible for the destruction of the unions and the ruin of the public sector, in particular, the National Health Service."
Fribourg paper La Liberté also referred to Thatcher's method of shock therapy and the problems it caused.
"Along with Ronald Reagan in the US, she was the best student of the Milton Friedman School in Chicago, in the service of the conservative revolution."
Margaret Thatcher made only one official visit to Switzerland in September 1990, in which she focused on the issue of European integration. She was the first British Prime Minister to pay a state visit to Bern. Trained as a chemist, she was interested in the Swiss pharmaceutical industry and made a stop at Ciba Geigy in Basel, which later merged with Sandoz and became Novartis. In November 1990, Thatcher returned to Switzerland, this time to participate in the second global climate conference in Geneva, where she called for immediate action to stabilise CO2 emissions. According to the Tages-Anzeiger newspaper in Zurich, Thatcher's biggest economic success was the Big Bang, the abrupt deregulation of the banking industry.
"As Prime Minister, she whipped the ailing British economy back into shape. But the people had to pay a high price for it."
When she resigned in 1990, nearly 7 million Brits were unemployed, 60% more than when she took office in 1979. The Tages-Anzeiger added,
"Along with Wall Street, the City of London became the most significant financial centre. Today, this blessing is becoming a curse. Because of its huge dependence on the banks, the crisis is hitting the British economy especially hard. The fact that David Cameron is now drawing on the Iron Lady's neoliberal recipe is downright devastating."
The Neue Zürcher Zeitung also pointed to one of the worst aspects of Thatcher's legacy.
"Two decades after her resignation, the inequality in terms of income and opportunities in Britain is greater than on the European continent."
Also campaigning about the British economy in Bern on April the 7th was British violinist Nigel Kennedy, who joked that cutbacks had meant he was only playing with three other musicians and his drummer only had one drum. This is Kennedy playing Bach's Prelude in E from Partita No. 3, which was one of the pieces he played to a packed house in the Swiss capital. On April the 11th, Justice Minister Simonetta Sommaruga apologised at a commemorative event in Bern for the harm suffered by child labourers who were taken from their families and placed by the authorities to work, mainly on farms. This practice continued until the early 1980s.
"Meine Damen und Herren, Sie haben keine Schuld an dem, was Sie erlitten haben."
"Ladies and gentlemen, you are at no fault whatsoever for what you suffered. The time has come for us to do something that until now has been denied to you, former discarded children and other victims of the enforced measures of the care system. For the harm that was done to you, I sincerely apologize on behalf of the government with all my heart.
Bitte ich Sie im Namen der Landesregierung aufrichtig und von ganzem Herzen um Entschuldigung.
Included in the official apology were women and girls subjected to forced sterilization and those locked up under the administrative care legal provision. Some were removed from society for being unmarried and pregnant. Many were put under pressure to give up their babies for adoption. Other women and men were deprived of their liberty for licentiousness, drunkenness, or for being work shy. Somaruga said what happened to the discarded children and others could not be undone by any words, describing their experience as a violation of human dignity. She did not address the question of financial compensation. Finally this week, a Fribourg couple got a shock when digging around their vegetable patch. They unearthed a load of bones. They weren't sure whether they were human or animal remains, and nor was the police officer or wildlife expert who turned up. After a sleepless night, the couple did a bit more digging and pulled out a human skull, followed by two more skeletons. The husband told Swiss media that since the previous owner had been a police officer, thoughts of a crime film ran through his head. However, archaeologists said the skeletons were in fact at least 1,000 years old and had probably been buried in a medieval cemetery. The couple said it was their son's 6th birthday a couple of days later, and surprised visitors were the talk of the party.
Dim bones gonna walk around, dim bones gonna walk around, dim bones gonna walk around, now hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more Swiss news and views, go to swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.
Dry bones, disconnect them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Well, your hip bone connected from your neck bone connected from your shoulder bone connected from your backbone connected from your hip bone connected from your thigh bone connected from your knee bone connected from your leg bone connected from your ankle bone connected from your heel bone connected from